I want to invite you to 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. I want to read two verses, give a little bit of an explanation, and pray. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 12, and verse 23. Go back up verse 22. The Bible says, "For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host like the host of God." See that? Come to David, day by day, men, mighty men, powerful men, capable men, they come to David day by day. And the Bible says these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to war, came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Now we'll begin to study, and the Bible tells us that Judah and the men that was with them, they were able to bear shield and spear, were 6,800 ready, armed to war. The children of Simeon, mighty men of valor, for war, 7,100. You just going down through, and he goes on and explains, and even gives the talents of some of these men. And these men were mighty men, men that were capable, men that were swift, men that were able to, as you'll go back in the scripture, shoot bows from the right hand and from the left hand, and sling stones in a deadly manner with right hand and left hand. These guys were equipped and trained to battle, and these guys aligned themselves with David because God had said that David, one day, you're going to be king. He'd rent the kingdom from Saul. We find in chapter 10 that Saul had died. He was dead, and there was a war in the household of David and the household of Saul over who was to be king. And men kept aligning themselves, and the house of David grew stronger and stronger, the Bible tells us, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. And but you find all these men, they were mighty. They were able to fight. I mean, some of these guys were the special forces. These guys were men of great valor. These were men of great talent since killing and at war. But the Bible tells us of certain men in verse 32. "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." And what was their talent? They had understanding of the times. Do you see that? "To know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." And they're 200 of these guys' head, and all their brethren underneath them were under their commandment. Their special talent wasn't they wasn't like Rambo. They wasn't the Navy SEALs. They weren't mighty. They weren't known for being able to shoot a bow with the left hand, the right hand, sling stones, and being able to stab a person in the right place to kill them immediately, swiftly, and not known necessarily for the valor. But here's what they were known for. They were known for this very fact. They had an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we're thankful for this opportunity to stand and preach. And I'm thankful for good men, and some men that maybe take a little different view than me, and some that take the exact same, and some similar. But God, we are thankful for brethren that love you. But God, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our positions, help us to understand that we have a responsibility that's given to us within Scripture to be the children of light and the children of the day, and not the children of night, and not the children of darkness, that those things would overtake us. But God, help us to be aware, and if there's anyone that ought to have some answers, anyone that ought to have assurance and direction and understanding of the times, it ought to be your people, and as we are, your ambassadors. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have a good buddy that had wrote something, and actually a couple friends, and I'll not really get into all that ongoing debate, but he basically had wrote that he was surprised that there's many people that's willfully ignorant of the times in which we live in, and boast of it almost as a spiritual gift to be uninformed about issues of the time. And basically here's what he was saying, that they are so spiritually minded, so heavenly minded, that they didn't need to be concerned about the things of the earth, because we ought to be seeking His kingdom. His kingdom come, Thy will be done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things are trivial. If we so focus on them that we are, in essence, allowing politics to completely govern our hearts and our minds and almost becoming a god. Now, and that friend's name was Brother Rob Jeffries. Now, and I understand where he comes, that why he had, Brother Rob, addressed that process. Brother Rob was saying, he says that, listen, that to be willfully ignorant, he said that it's just not wise. He said it's not proper, or is it timely in the application of truth. And I agree with Rob in this. I believe we ought to have a Christian worldview. But in order to have a Christian worldview, you've got to know what's going on in the world. And there seems to be this approach with these people that say, speak you first the kingdom of God. Don't really, you shouldn't be worried about what's happening in Washington. You shouldn't be worried what's happening in the UN. You shouldn't be worried about what's happening over in the Middle East. You should focus on studying the Scriptures and just living by the virtues and the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. And that's great, but it's almost in a way a lot being an ostrich that thinks it's finding peace and serenity by burying its head in the sand. When I was a kid, I was scared of the dark. I remember my parents let me watch The Exorcist. And I was a little kid, and I was scared to death, and I always thought that something was going to come in my room and get me. And I can remember I just pulled the covers over my head, and I lay there and think, if I thought something come in there, if I lay here long enough, it will go away. And finally I learned that if I snuck my German Shepherd in, he'd lay there, and I just assumed my German Shepherd could eat demons, okay? So I was pretty comfortable with a German Shepherd sneaking in the house. But I want to say to you, it's easier to block out the world around us. Understand that. And it's easy to wait for our blessed assurance. And I know we should be looking and we should be hastening. We should be wanting. We ought to be desiring and longing for the day. But where the children of Issachar, these men who were listed with David's mighty men, not men that was known for their ability in war, but for having an understanding of the times. They were listed there. You can have soldiers, but you better have someone that understands what's going on in the world. You can have the mightiest army in the world and be ignorant to what's happening around you. You can have the ability. Not only can you have ability, you can have infrastructure. You can have the materials to build the weapons. You can have people in place to put together a mighty army, but if you can't see the danger ahead, you'll never put that army together. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your surplus is or what your supply is if you're not prepared. Now, I want you to understand that these children of Issachar, they had an answer for what was going on in the world today, and they could direct David, and they could direct those mighty men and those soldiers that followed David, but not only could they do that, they had an answer to what Israel ought to do. It's amazing to me, you study the book of Daniel, and I encourage you to turn there. Daniel, here is something you say, well, we shouldn't get involved in politics. Well, sometimes what happens in the world involves us, and we must be involved. Now, I agree that our great commission is not to make sure a Republican wins. Our great commission is not to see that a Democrat wins. In fact, our great commission is not none of those things. It is not about that. Even overturning abortion, as much as I hate and despise abortion, that is not our job primary. Yes, we ought to stand against evil, but that's not the primary job of the Lord's church. But the Bible tells us this, that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men who were taken captive as young men, they were placed in the kingdom. Notice how wise they were. They were like the children of Issachar. How were they wise? The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 1, for these four children. Now, he had all kinds of people brought up in the Babylonian university. People that studied politics, studied science, studied astronomy, studied astrology. They studied all these sciences of today. And they were supposed to be the wise men that were gifted. But the Bible says that these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and visions and dreams. And the Bible says, now at the end of the days, when the king should bring them to the prince of the eunuchs, he brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. He spent time with them. He talked with them. He discussed with them. And here's what he found. He found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them and found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Now, I want to tell you, people want to know what's going on in the world today. They want to listen to Rush Limbaugh. They want to turn to see what Glenn Beck has to say. They want to turn, see what's going on in Fox News. Want to turn over and see what's happening maybe with some of the liberal commentators at CNN and some of the other faux new network. I'll spit that out here in a second. But they want to search those areas and find out what is happening. Let me tell you the best thing to tell you how to find out what's happening in the world. There's no doubt. You ought to watch it. But you talk to some of God's people who's watching it and reading the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit shining light on what the Scripture says and what's happening in the world around you, and they can tell you what's happening in this world. They can give you an idea of what's happening in this world. And you say, Brother Grant, you really believe that? I really do believe that. We're living a time that we're trusting the wisdom of men over the wisdom of God. And I think we have to be careful. Now, does that mean that did I understand everything? No, I don't understand everything. The person in here that understands everything. And I understand that many people have blurred the lines of political action and the responsibility of the church, and they've taken it to one extreme. And that's all they're going to focus on is political action and political involvement. But the truth we know, well, there's none of us here today, we know what's going on politically, and you should know, but we also know that salvation is not through being an American, not be through being American, and not by being a good citizen. It's by being born again. That is how we get into the kingdom of God. But because some people are extreme on one end, and there is, even amongst Christian groups, extreme political groups, that does not create, or that does not necessitate, that we somehow go to the other extreme and ignore everything going on around us. We need to be wise about the time. And so, I believe, and Brother Rob said this, is some can play more than one string on a guitar at the same time. We can preach the gospel of the grace and peace and see a troubled world around us without bitterness or losing hope. I understand the dangers. Let me say this. My good friend Troy McGahan told me, he said a while back, I had to quit listening to all political rhetoric on the radio. He said, I agree. I'd listen to Glenn Beck. I'd listen to Rush Limbaugh. And I get hours of this a day, going down the road and place to place. And he said, I was in a foul mood all the time, mad at somebody. It can happen. He said, so I turned it off. I'm not sticking my head in the sand, but I just couldn't inundate my life with that. I want to know what's going on, but it couldn't be every waking moment. And I understand that. You see, ignorance is not bliss except for the person that's ignorant. But I believe this as God's people. I believe that we should have an understanding of what's happening in the world. And you say, can you give me that from Scriptures? Yes, I can. I can give you all kinds of examples of Scripture. And I'm not going to chase them all tonight. But I'll try not to chase them all night. Remember who Jochebed was? She was Moses' mother. She had an understanding of the times. And she saw there's something special about that child. And God spoke to her, and she hid that child. And one day, she, by faith, placed that child in the river. And God moved in a mighty way. But she understood what was happening in the world around her. She understood politically the threat and the danger. And she moved by fear, by faith. And so, man, what courageous. You study Moses. He understood what was happening politically. He'd rather stay on the backside of the desert. But God sent him back to Egypt. He understood the times. He understood the dangers. But he went in the power of God. You'll find men like Joshua. Joshua could look at the land and he'd say, yes, there's much to do. There's much to accomplish. Yes, there's enemies in the land. Yes, there's giants in the land. There's fortified cities. There's walls. They're armed. They're prepared for battle. There's many dangers, but we still have God on our side. Let's go and possess the land. And before Joshua died, he gave advice. He said, it's for me and my house. He said, I don't care what the rest of you do, but me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not turning back from it. But if you want to go back and serve the gods that your father served on the other side of the Mesopotamia, on the other side of the river, you go ahead and do it. But we're going to serve God, and that's what we're going to do. And I want to encourage everybody to keep serving God. That's what Joshua told them, because he knew the times. He knew that he'd won many victories, but the battle wasn't done. See, I think somehow some of the Christians think that somehow to get saved, they can go to their little spiritual fortress and they can kind of sit there and bunker down and hope everything turns out all right. Let me tell you something. If that's not the case, you'll not understand that Samuel knew the times. He saw the wickedness of his generation. David knew the times. You'll find that Elijah, he knew the times. He went to King Ahab and called Ahab out for his wickedness. Elijah stayed by the brook Cherith. God took care of him. He sent him to a widow's house and took care of him. And one day, God spoke to him and said, go show yourself to Ahab. And what Ahab said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know who wants to blame us for all, who gets to blame for all the problems in the world today? It's Christians. But may I say to you, well, Ahab, he was the problem. Sin was a problem. Rejection of God was a problem. But Elijah knew the time. Isaiah knew the time. Jeremiah knew the time. Certainly Daniel knew the times. Every time there was a need, there's a vision. What's happening in the future, Daniel? Who do they come to? When they said, somebody can't explain this vision, I don't have all the wise men killed. Daniel shows up and says, King, don't trouble yourself. I'll pray and my God will show it to me. And certainly his God did. May I say to you, he understood the times of the season. You'll understand in the scripture that Ezra seen that it now was a time for action. Haggai understood that now is a time. He says, is it time for you to live in your sealed houses and the house of God lie in ruins? He said, we've seen what God has done, how God has delivered us, and God has brought us through the time that we were held captive in Babylon. Now it's time to get to work. You see, they understood. They understood how God was working. They could look at the political realm and they understood completely. Nehemiah understood the times. And let me say this. How did the Magi from the east know the king of the world was going to be born? It was because they knew of Daniel's prophecies. They knew the times and the seasons. Jesus told his disciples that they should understand the times and seasons in Matthew 24. They should understand that. John Clark, he labored for religious freedom here before we was a nation. And Obadiah Holmes, they understood the times. They understood what happened in the past. They saw great potential that now was the time to act because there could possibly be freedom for all people religiously. Lewis and Elijah Craig left Spotsylvania, Virginia because they saw that it was time to leave. They saw religious freedom and the possibility of the gospel flourishing. Our founding fathers understood the times of the seasons. You say, Brother Grant, what are you saying? The problem was when the world did not recognize the times and the seasons and what was happening, that's when Hitler took the stage. You see, we're not the children of darkness. Let me give you some things tonight, and I'll try to move fairly quickly with this, but I want you to pay attention. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Be turning there. Verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting and desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it is fair weather, for the sky is red. You can discern the sky, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. He says, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Think about that. He called them hypocrites. You can't discern what's going on around you. Look around, see what's happening, get an understanding of what's going on in this world. You see, if God raised up the Mede and the Persian kings, people, you study, it was Psalm 127 that they hung their harps up by the willow and they sat there and they cried and they wept by the rivers of Babylon and they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing one of the Lord's songs here? How can we do that? And so they just sat down and they wept. Can we tell you why they wept? They didn't understand what God was doing. They didn't understand how the Babylonian captivity and then the Persian dispersia and how the Greek culture would provide a universal language and how the Roman roads would provide a means in which the gospel could spread. It set the perfect stage for the Son of God to be born and the gospel to be taken out in all the world. They didn't understand the sign of the times. They didn't understand what was happening. But may I say to you, God's still yet God. God's still working and God's still yet in control. If God could raise up the Median and the Persian kings to enable His people to accomplish His plan, I don't care who is president, I don't care if he's sorry, I don't care, listen to me, He could raise him up, put him in position to enable us to be able to continue to work for Him. And you say, we better take advantage of the time if we understand the time which we have. Let me say this to you. You'll find here that in Matthew 16, He said, you can discern the face of the sky. You can't see what's happening right here. This is what's been prophesied. This is what's been promised. This is amazing to me that people, they couldn't see. They couldn't see their face if they were looking in a mirror 2 foot away. And you see, I want you to see today that the world's going to change. Always changing. There's no doubt about it. But how are we going to respond to that change? You see, God is not moving on our timetable. God is not moving the way we necessarily want Him to move. But God will move. And God is unchanging. I understand that. And Mark Twain said this, the only person that likes change is a wet baby. I don't like necessarily change. I get used to a pair of shoes. I hate to buy another pair of shoes. I get used to a pair of pants. I hate to buy a new pair of pants because the other pants get comfortable. Amen. I even hate to wash them sometimes because they're just perfectly comfortable, right? Some of you fellas know what I'm talking about. I mean, I hate change. I hate getting a new toothbrush. I'll use it to just beat all to pieces. I hate change. But the truth of the matter is, as long as we're alive, there will be change. The sons of Issachar had saw that God had selected a new king, and they decided they were not going to be stuck following a dead king. They were not going to follow something that wasn't going in God's direction or God's plan. They threw their support right behind David. And so I want you to see today that we, as God's people, we need to see how God is moving. And we need to be involved with that and be a part of that. And when we see opportunity, we need to jump on that and we need to seize that opportunity. Paul said, a great door and effectual is opened up to me, Corinthians. I'm going to try to come to you, but right here's opportunity and I'm seizing the opportunity. Why was that? Because he recognized the times. May I say to you, there's times and seasons all in this world, and God expects us to have enough sense to know. If you've got enough sense to realize there's spring, there's summer, there's fall, and there's winter, you ought to be looking for the times of what God's doing in this world. Let me say this to you. We should be conscious of world events under the light of Scriptures. Jesus warned us in Matthew 24. He said, Lord, what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age and the end of the world? Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that in the last day there will be what? Perilous times. He warned about that. But you'll find that Thessalonians chapter number 2, he wrote in great detail what we're to look for at the coming of the Lord and things we ought to be concerned about. You can study it in the Scripture. Why did he tell us that? Because we ought to be aware. And so you can continue on. You study in Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel, he said, Daniel, there's 470 weeks determined upon thy people. 490 weeks. And what was that? There are those 70 weeks for 490 years, rather. Let me get that out. 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Those were units of 7. And 7 times 7 is what? 490. And you'll find in Scripture that 483 of those years that was prophesied, he said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen politically. You're going to see this happen, and this is going to happen, and one day, guess what? Messiah the Prince will come, and he'll be cut off. When he is, guess what? That timetable stopped, and he said it'll not start again until what? Times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And what else? There's coming a day, there's going to come a man who's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And when it happens, that timetable, 7 years left, is going to start kicking. Now you say, Brother Grant, how can you understand all that? You can't understand all that if you stick your head in the sand and ignore what's happening. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to say this. You can't understand a bit of prophecy unless you understand some politics and some things that's happened historically in this world. It is impossible. For us to say we just ignore and sit down is one of the silliest things. And I understand. And I'm not saying that this brother is saying we ought to just ignore everything altogether, but it's almost like this la, 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 la. If I close my eyes, it'll go away. I just need to keep doing what I need to do, and God's going to take care of me. I understand that. But the children of Issachar had understanding. Daniel had understanding. Elijah had. I've gone person after person had understanding. We ought to have understanding greater than anybody in this world. You get to Revelation chapter 11, deals with the temple and the Antichrist. And then chapter number 12, he lays out this plan of Israel's history and throughout the ages and the battle that's been going on. And you'll find it's a spiritual, but it's political, and there's many things going on there. And the only way we can understand that is by to look around and understand the times. Now, you say, Brother Grant, why are you saying all this? Because I want to bring us to another scripture I believe is extremely important. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me. The Bible says this, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they'll not escape. Boy, he said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, of darkness, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Now, notice that. Let us not sleep as do others. What if someone sleep? That's somebody not conscious of what's happening around them. But let us watch and be sober. Let me tell you, you have a responsibility to know what's going on in the world and how God's working in this world. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Man, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. We are different than everybody that's in the world. You see, you can't understand what God's planning to do unless you can look and see what's happening politically. If you think all this is happening and God's not involved with it, you're crazy. If you look at some of the craziness goes on in the world, in wars and politics, and you don't think Satan's involved with this thing, you're nuts too. We're in a spiritual world. Not just the physical world, but there's a spiritual battle going on, and God has a plan, and He's going to bring this world to a destiny one day. Because He's sovereign, He is in control, and I am thankful I can trust Him in all these things. You see, I believe we need to be conscious. I believe we need to be awake. And I believe this, if we understand what God is doing, what it do, it creates a greater faith and a greater desire to win others. It says, the Bible says, well, Paul writes, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I know what's going to happen. I may not know every detail how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. There's coming a great and terrible day, and you better be ready to meet God. I can tell you right now that God has given us a little opportunity, a little window of opportunity. I don't know how to stay open, but you better seize it right now and do all you can for God. Because it may come a day soon that window will close. And as much hatred as people have in the political realm this day and age, it's not going to get better. And one day that hatred is going to be turned upon us. Do you hear me? Turned upon us. We better be doing all we can do. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I am thankful that You are in control. I am thankful that You still rule and You still reign. I don't understand everything, but God, I believe I understand more than a lot of these political geniuses understand. They leave you out of it. They leave this book out of it. And God, we read in so many places, we know that Your Son is coming again. We know that's our blessed hope. We know that we ought to stand fast, and we know that we ought to gain strength and courage and be unmovable and unshakable because our faith is in You. The events of this world shouldn't alarm us. Like we were asleep and woken out of sleep, scared. God, we should be expecting it. So God, I pray that You'd help us also to seize the opportunity that You've set before us and do all we can for Your kingdom's sake. We love You today. I ask You bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.